Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, wrestling friends, and welcome to another edition of The Supla. I'm Carmine Antonelli, and with me is Sam Brooks.
Look at the light. Look at how bright it is in my room now. Isn't it great? Oh. I'm no longer sat in darkness, because I have someone here who I agree with a lot of the time.
There you go!
Where have you been all these weeks, man?
Doing stuff! life, man. It's a thing that happens frequently to me.
Yes, and life for me gets very rough when I have to sit down for an hour a week and argue with an idiot. So I'm glad we're past that.
Yay! So, we do have a topic to discuss today, as indicated by the title of this video. But first, we want to get into some comments.
Let's go! So last time, we reviewed Payback.
Right.
What did you think of Payback?
I'm blanking. Remind me real quick what happened.
House of Horrors murdered Roman in the main
Braun
event.
Braun murdered Roman. Yeah. That was the main event?
Yeah.
Neat.
House of Horrors happened and disappointed everybody except for me.
Really?
Cesaro turned heel.
Yep.
Alexa Bliss is the new women's champ.
Mm-hmm.
And Owens is the new American champ.
Didn't he lose the match at Payback, but then he won on SmackDown? Isn't that what happened?
That is what happened.
Okay.
That is what happened.
So yeah, Sheamus kicked Jeff Hardy's teeth out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
okay.
Brian Alvarez got upset.
Oh, he got real fucking upset. Mm. Fucking fire Sheamus. Why would never hire him? He's such a shithead. Sure, whatever. It's not like accidents happen, Brian.
No.
I think it, overall it was fine. The House of Horrors match, I mean, I don't know what a lot of people were expecting, but I can also see how even if you weren't expecting much, that was disappointing, because what the fuck was that?
Yeah, to be honest, I expected absolutely nothing, and what I got was a stupid, funny thing where a fridge became the linear champion. Like,
wait a minute, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how
there's
that
a,
works.
There's a bit in the kitchen, right, where there's a fridge involved, and like Bray Wyatt tipped a fridge onto Randy Orton, and it like pinned him. So
was
technically,
there a ref there?
No.
Okay.
No, there wasn't. It wasn't a match, really. I mean, there might have been a ref there. I honestly can't remember. It seems like a fever dream
at
this
point. Yeah, wasn't like the whole first half of it just like a segment?
Yeah.
And then they drove to the ring, and it became a match.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck was that?
I'm not a fan of the structure. I'm merely a fan of the idea that inanimate objects fell onto Randy Orton. And technically, we should be getting Jinder Mahal versus the fridge at Backlash.
The fridge wins.
The fridge should fucking win over Jinder Mahal.
It goes on a real fucking dominant winning streak until Rusev finally beats it.
You don't know this, but the fridge has good chain wrestling. I don't know what the fuck we're talking about anymore, so Payback was
alright.
How long
did that take? 3 minutes?
Maybe, I don't know, but we got some comments here from the lovely people of Super City. We have one from Mr. Shadow Fox 456, which is about actually that rumored women's tournament.
Yes, I feel like this is past being a rumor, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's happening in the third quarter.
Yes.
And the idea is that it's going to be the Cruiserweight Classic, but with women.
Mm-hmm.
Get loads of them into contracts, and then something will happen. Again, like the Cruiserweight Classic, we don't know what they're going to be fighting for until maybe a week before the finale, so
yeah, that too.
It's up for anyone's guess, but they say, since WWE is having that women's tournament, I know it won't happen, but it would be cool if they introduced the Black Lotus Triad from Lucha Underground, and have them eventually go to SmackDown and challenge the Welcoming Committee. Even though, you know, that's not their name. That is their name. Did you know about the Welcoming Committee, Carmine?
No, what is that? What?
It is the group of Natalia, Carmella, James Ellsworth, and Tamina. There are three lady heels on SmackDown that are making life very difficult for Charlotte, who has turned face now.
Okay, alright. So, let me process a couple things here. Charlotte's a face. Okay. That's
well, I mean,
fine.
She's aligned herself with face characters. She's still acting like a heel because she's a well-written character, but
that's
she's
probably fine.
She's a face, for all intents and purposes.
I mean, that's how it's supposed to work. You know, characters aren't supposed to completely change how they behave, Sasha Banks, when they switch, you know.
No, Seth Rollins.
Alignments, but, okay, so that's probably going to be good. I didn't like Charlotte as a heel. I know some people did, but I didn't. So that's probably going to be good. All right, so, okay. Tamina.
Yeah.
Natalia.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella. And then because of Carmella, you also have James Ellsworth.
Yeah, Becky Lynch is beating up James Ellsworth, like, week in, week out.
I like that. I like that.
I'm a fan of that.
That, you know what? Okay, at face value on paper, that sounds pretty shitty. Mm. I can see how it might be okay.
I mean, they're having a six-man tag match at Backlash, where it might go
Charlotte,
somewhere.
Charlotte Becky, and
Becky Lynch, and Naomi.
Okay. Ah, damn it. No title match?
Nah.
They gotta stop doing that.
Hmm.
Okay, well, that suckiness aside,
So now you're filled in on the welcoming committee.
Yeah.
Do you know about the Black Lotus Triad from Lucha Underground?
I don't. No, I don't. I don't know Lucha Underground that well at all.
Sit down and let me tell you a tale of the Black Lotus Triad.
Okay.
In Japan, there is a promotion called Stardom.
Okay.
You've heard of this.
Yeah.
There are three performers there who are considered to be the best wrestlers that side of the planet.
Okay.
By Dave Meltzer, at the very least. They are, if I'm remembering the names right, Io Shirai.
I feel like... Okay.
You've heard her name before, definitely. Kairi Hojo.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayu Iwatani.
Okay.
I believe that's her name. If I'm wrong, here's her name. They are the top three stars of Stardom. They are like...
Okay.
The promotion is essentially built around them.
Like the Shield.
Kind of like the Shield, except they're not really a stable. They're just three very good single stars.
Right, like the Shield now.
Like the Shield now. Except instead of having, like, a John Cena and a Randy Orton and other supporting characters, there's
it's
not really
them.
Anyone. It's just them, who are at least Japanese. Okay. So, they perform in Lucha Underground as the Black Lotus Triad.
That sounds cool.
Mm-hmm. The idea with this women's tournament is that they are signing up people from all over the world, very much like Cruiserweight Classic. So, I mean, Kairi Hojo has already signed a contract to WWE.
Oh.
So she's there now.
Okay.
Io Shirai is rumored to, but she's not officially yet.
Mm-hmm.
So two out of three of the top stars of that one promotion could be leaving and therefore kill that promotion, but...
Yeah.
I'm very excited for this women's tournament.
Yeah,
purely based
like
on the assumption that throughout the past 2 years, really, there's been an influx of great women on the indies. You have people like Candice LeRae,
oh, yeah.
Toni Storm, Nixon Newell, who was recently signed to WWE as well. So,
and Candice LeRae showed up at an NXT event recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. So, she was in that Battle Royal to determine who would face Asuka at TakeOver Chicago.
Chicago. So I wouldn't be surprised if she signs
mm-hmm.
as a result of this.
Now, we've mentioned before, we don't know what this women's tournament is going to be for.
Yeah.
I have my theories.
Yeah, you told me about this off-camera once.
Mm-hmm. Or it might have been on the broadcast, actually. But, which you can go to super.com and listen to. Mitch plug. The idea behind it, in my head, is that Asuka, who's been NXT Women's Champion for over 400 days now.
Very good.
Very good. Top notch. She moves up to Raw or SmackDown. Preferably mm-hmm. SmackDown.
Preferably.
She vacates the championship. And hey, this women's tournament is now for the NXT Women's Championship.
That would be cool. Now.
Hmm.
SmackDown and Raw both have a similar problem.
Here we go.
They have too many women and not enough storylines for those women.
No, I disagree. And SmackDown has storylines for a larger majority of their women rather than Raw, who only ever seem to have one.
Larger majority for sure.
Bearing in mind, there's one point in SmackDown, there are three different women's feuds going on at any given time.
Yes, and that's good. But if we have a big influx of women, I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of people with nothing to do. So do we feel like something's going to get introduced to kind of make up for that? Like some sort of women's mid-card? Or like a tag division?
A women's tag division isn't unheard of. In fact, I believe the WWF had women's tag belts at one point.
Yes, and we know TNA had a long time of having that.
Yeah, and then Eric Young won one of the belts. So really, what kind of credibility do you have there?
Exactly.
No, I think the influx of women will be good because, you know, like I say, SmackDown at one point had three different women's feuds going on at one point. One of them
SmackDown,
was
I'm not as worried as I am. Two of them were not.
No, but what I'm saying is they're capable of having feuds with characters that aren't for a championship.
Yes.
So I think they could just have more women featured on the programming, as opposed to just having them wait in line and go for the championship one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
They could just have exhibition matches, for example.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be bad at all. It's just I don't have faith that they would do that.
You gotta have faith, Carmine, otherwise you'll be miserable.
I have faith in SmackDown. Not Raw.
No. If they've shown anything, it's that they can only focus on one at a time.
And NXT's only a 1-hour show, so they
could,
kinda
in theory, have a different show, just with women.
Possibly. But
that's
then
what they've been doing
would
lately. They have the Cruiserweights, they have the UK, now we have women.
But then
then there's too much programming.
That and also it becomes odd for the women on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Just like it becomes odd for the Cruiserweights outside of the Cruiserweight division.
Oh, there's a lot of issues right now.
There is. But we have a couple more comments here. One from Wolfie, who wrote a bit of an essay, so I'm going to try and skim this down. But his main point, and I think it was to upset Andy more than anything else, which I approve of, but I feel like we can get some good debate going between us as well. He says, I'm going to say something very controversial, and it's going to upset Andy badly, so I'll apologize in advance. You don't need to. Roman Reigns has worked the hardest out of a Shield in the past year. He goes on. I'm no Roman fan, far from it, but I recognize when someone is battling to earn respect he'll probably never get. Seth is a hard worker, for sure, but he's been plagued by injury and his entire heel run hasn't been great, and his face turn was awful. Besides the cash-in at Mania, which was the greatest WrestleMania ending ever, he was marred by interference and shenanigans, referring to his, you know, attempt to capture the Universal Championship throughout the past year, which was never defended clean, by the way, but nevertheless. Ambrose has gotten stagnant, complacent, and part of the furniture. And I'm an Ambrose guy through and through, he says. Roman did everything in his power, including looking like a convincing murder victim, to help Braun Strowman get over, and kudos to him, because it actually worked. Sure, he shoved down our throats, it seems like he's fighting to earn that right, instead of just being gifted it by the higher-ups. I gotta agree.
I agree on some level.
Seth's my boy. They've ruined Seth.
Well,
name me a single feud that has had, you know, passionate interest from any of the fans since his return.
Which return?
His most recent one.
Got none.
Because he came back ever since the brand split, really, because he fought Balor. No one was into it because the belt was awful.
Yeah.
He fought Owens a couple of times. No one was into it because he was still going through that weird transitional period, and then Chris Jericho kept getting involved, so really, there was no reason to care.
I feel like people didn't care about that one because there was no, like,
and the Triple H thing tied into that.
It's like, what is happening? What is this? What are we looking at? That's a big reason.
Then he got to Triple H at WrestleMania, and I would argue that the week in the run-up to WrestleMania was the most I've cared about Rollins for a long time now.
Mostly yeah,
because
I'd
I was
say
worried
that's
if
probably
he would
best.
Make it to the event or not, but
yeah.
His feud with Triple H ended. That was a good match, by the way.
Yeah.
So he had that at least. But now he's feuding with Samoa Joe and no one cares again.
Yeah, I'm hearing people say that it's really bad.
It's not that it's bad, it's just that it's like, what reason do I have to care at this point?
Yeah. I heard they had a match at Payback, right?
Yeah.
I heard it was not great.
It's not the best that Eva could have done.
Right.
So you have that.
But I hear they also just had recently a match on Raw that was good.
It was good. It was better than the Payback match, but...
Yeah.
Even then, like, no one was into it. And yeah. I think they've fucked him up so bad. And he's the best out of the Shield. They've messed him up. Okay, Ambrose. Alright. He has become complacent, and he has become part of the furniture. Okay, fight me on this.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because, I mean, what do you mean by complacent?
Like, he's just okay being in the mid-card now. There's no sense of, like, ooh, Ambrose there, you know? Like, back when he was fighting for the World Championship with the Shield triple threat, all of the builds of that, I thought he was amazing.
I feel like...
Ever since he's lost the belt, really, and has become Intercontinental Champion, I've just felt nothing from him.
I wouldn't say that.
It feels like he's safe. He's safe in his role of being a merchandise seller, wacky babyface character that people can get behind, but I don't know. There's something wrong with him at this point.
I feel like, compared to Roman,
at the very least.
Okay. So with... Everyone has... Well, not everyone. But some people, some wrestlers, should just stick to one thing. Like being a face or being a heel. Some people can switch a few times over the course of their career and be fine. Some people should just be a heel all the time. Some people should just be a face all the time. Sasha Banks should just be a heel all the time. Seth Rollins should just be a heel all the time. As far as Dean and Roman go,
Dean can do Eva convincingly, I feel.
Yes, but he is very, very useful as a face. So I feel like that part's fine. I feel like the problems only come in when he's not put into a well-written feud. Like, I feel like his feud with Baron Corbin should have been amazing, and it was just good.
Yeah.
But it was still good, I feel. I feel like those two had segments in their match where like, you know, there was something Dean could really sink his teeth into there, and that's when he shines, is when he's got something to work with. And so the problems kind of come in when he's not being given much to work with. Him and AJ were fucking great. They were awesome together.
They were. They built SmackDown.
And then Dean and Miz didn't get a lot of material. So while
I feel like Dean and Miz has been going on for too long.
And it kind of just started.
No, but like on and off, it's been going on for a long time now.
I feel like it was really just when Dean won it from Miz and then now, unless there was another point that I missed.
It's just been dragging for a long time. It's been going on since, like, it feels like last year.
And it's one of the feuds that I feel like isn't being given a lot to work with, so Dean doesn't have much to do.
Entire feud boils down to the Miz saying that he made the belt relevant again, and then Ambrose being crazy Deadpool lunatic. That's all it is.
Yeah, and I feel like there's nothing to really go off of there. So no. I feel like, you know, assuming Dean keeps it, his next feud would probably be good, but Miz, the writers can't really come up with enough to do, and so it looks bad on Miz and Ambrose, really. It's not just Ambrose.
But what do we say about Roman being the hardest worker out of all of them?
That's tough, man, because I will not give Roman any shit. I feel like he's really good. He's a good fucking wrestler.
No, the problem isn't with Roman, it's with his booking.
Of course. And
that's all it's ever been.
And
well,
even then,
no.
It's been okay lately. He should just be a fucking heel at this point with the Undertaker shit, but whatever.
Yeah, they put him with Braun, though, so... But they've been treating Braun like a face anyway, the crowd have, so...
Yeah. But I feel like hardest workers hard to measure. All three of them do a fucking lot. Even, you know, Seth working through those injuries, Dean is a fucking maniac. I think, what is it, like 2 or 3 years in a row he wrestled the most matches in a year out of anyone on the roster?
Yeah. I mean, there's no denying his work rate. What I'm saying is, like...
But, I mean, like, he's lost how do you measure who's the hardest worker, you know? I feel like that's the only thing where I'm like, eh, Roman's great, but I don't know if I can agree with him being the hardest worker, because how do you measure that? That's the only thing.
I feel like it's because his fight with the crowds is what caused this, because I wouldn't want to be Roman Reigns right now.
No, neither would I.
Because no matter how hard I try and no matter what I do, they're writing me to be hated.
Yeah.
And that's tragic, but that's where we've been for the past 3 years.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And it's not changing anytime soon. Thanks, yeah, guys. But anyway,
yeah,
we have more comments here. And we have some about the Charlotte Flair thingamajiggy.
Okay, what?
The leaked photos.
Oh, yeah, this happened.
We're back here again. And there was a point in the show with Andy where he brought them up, but only in the comparison made between Charlotte and Alexa Bliss, because we were having a debate over which one was better, and then I say Alexa. Why Bliss is better than Charlotte on some days, and then on some days Charlotte is better, and then Andy just brings in the fact that, you know, Charlotte had her nude photos leaked, and that should be a detraction against her for some reason.
Because literally no one else on the planet takes those kinds of pictures of themselves.
No, even though he can't understand it, it's like it's like quantum theory. It's impossible. It's literally we can't figure it out. Theory. We can't figure out why people decide to take risque photos of themselves. Quantum. It's something that science has baffled over for years now.
Quantum theory.
We have comments from Bullet Club versus The Shield and Antonio about all of this. And they say, basically, that they agree with me. In that it's her private life, and that people shouldn't be leaking them in the first place. Regardless of why they take them or not, Andrew.
Yeah, it's dumb. It doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of everything, it doesn't fucking matter. We all had a good laugh when Seth's dick pic got leaked and posted on his fucking Facebook page, but it doesn't matter. It's whatever.
I had a good chuckle at someone's life slightly collapsing.
It really didn't affect him at all.
In the workplace, no, but his fiance left him and then his hair changed. Okay, different comparisons, different strokes for different folks, alright? So.
But yeah, no, this Charlotte thing really is not.
It's a non-factor.
On her, no, it's a very much non-factor.
It's not like the Page thing where it involved both company property and company employees that are still on TV regularly.
Well, one, but yeah.
Pretty big one, to be fair. So
yeah.
Oh, that was a mess, and I'm glad we don't have to talk about that one anymore, but...
Yes.
I feel like this one is just going to be glossed over. Because it should
be. Yeah, because it was pretty fucking harmless.
Why focus on it?
It's just... I saw some of it. It's just a couple pictures, and then that's it. Whatever. It's mostly, it's some, a lot, most of the pictures that got leaked aren't even, she's got clothes on, she's posing in the bathroom mirror.
Like they all do.
Yeah, so like, whatever.
But anyway, there's one point I want to ask you about all of this.
Okay.
As I say, the comparison between Alexa Bliss and Charlotte was brought up, because Bliss is the first woman to capture both of her own SmackDown championships. We all thought that would go to Charlotte, but no. Went to Bliss.
Oh, yeah.
My question is, which is better? For me, I don't think either of them are better than the other, because some days Charlotte is better, some days Bliss is better. There's a lot of factors here.
I like Bliss more, but as far as who's factually better, I think you're
right. Well, this is objective. No, subjective, rather. Like, you can't just put up a measuring stick and be like, which one's better? It's like, it's down to personal preference most of the time. But
personal preference, I prefer Alexa Bliss.
The reason I can't decide is because, like, Bliss has, they both have the look. Like, they both have a good look. They look like actual athletes and performers. That kind of thing. Gimmick-wise, Bliss is better. In-ring-wise, Charlotte is better.
Probably.
I just think that, like, there's too many different factors between both of them where they just draw so many different comparisons, but it's like, maybe one week Charlotte did better than Bliss, maybe the other week Charlotte did worse than Bliss, but either way, I think they're both at the top right now.
Like, if you were saying, okay, someone has to face Bayley in a match, it's either going to be Charlotte or Bliss, I'd rather it would be Bliss. If you said, hey, someone's got to face Sasha Banks in a match, it's going to be either Bliss or Charlotte, I'd rather it would be Bliss. Not just because the Sasha-Charlotte feud was booked to death, just because. There's a lot of, like you said, different things going on with the comparison, but preference? Bliss.
Fair enough.
Unless Charlotte, you know, starts really, really improving character-wise as a face, because I did not enjoy her as a heel, then that could change it a little bit. But right, as of right now, I'd say Bliss. I prefer Bliss.
And that's fair enough. But we have a final comment here. And okay. It is from the new Super City Hall champion, Janie.
What the fuck is going on with that belt?
Do you know how this happened?
No. I don't follow this shit.
I kind of have to, because they talk to me about it constantly. So,
fair enough.
Let me fill you in, buddy. And for anyone at home who maybe doesn't know, the Super City Hall Championship is contested between predictions on pay-per-view events, and it is oftentimes defended in other ways, but nevertheless, this toy is now in the hands of Janie, because she got, well, with Payback. I forgot the pay-per-view name. I always confuse Payback and Backlash, because they're the same.
Yeah, it is.
But with Payback, Keelan and Janie both got the same amount of predictions right.
Ah.
But then Keelan was like, I don't want this.
I've seen what it does to people. I'll pass.
Janie, you had this. And so Janie went back to her native homeland of Bristol.
Okay.
With the belt. And Andy cried.
I thought that wasn't allowed.
So did Andy. That's why he cried.
Oh my god, fuck that belt so much.
I mean, it's not surprising that one of the creators of a belt will allow his significant other to go away with it. There's your answer, Andy. Have sex with Liam a lot and you'll get the belt.
I couldn't even finish it, I'm sorry.
I'm glad it's out of my life now. I'm so glad I don't have to put up with this bullshit anymore, of these stories of how, oh, I have a rematch clause. I have 50 rematch clauses. Like, shut up.
Yeah, that's
I don't bad. Care.
Hopefully she just throws it in the trash.
You listening, Janie? You know what to do. So what are we talking about today, Carmichael?
We are talking about... Why do you keep calling me that?
Susie Carmichael. Rugrats.
What's that have to do with me?
Car.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about a little interview that came out. How long ago did that come out?
Recently.
Yeah, like within days. Where someone asked Daniel Bryan, this is kind of an awkward question, but a lot of people want to know. When your contract expires with WWE, are you going to want to stay in the kind of position you are now, or are you going to want to leave and go wrestle? And Brian's answer was not surprising. He basically said, it depends on how I feel and, you know, how healthy I think I am, how healthy Bree thinks I am. But if we're thinking that I'm good to go, you know, first I'll ask WWE, and assuming they're going to say no, then I'll go wrestle somewhere else. If I'm not feeling healthy, I'll stay and be general manager or whatever. But if I feel like I can get in the ring and throw my body turnbuckles for 4 hours, then I'll go do that. Wow, I'm so shocked that he said
and
that.
And then the concussion and CTE experts came crawling out of the woodwork.
Of course.
Saying how he shouldn't do that, he could die.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that's an over-exaggeration, sure, but...
I mean, fuck, look what happened to Shibata. If
Shibata,
he's not dead,
exactly.
If he's not dead, Brian is not going to die in the ring.
No, but here's the thing. People don't probably won't know this, but in New Japan, there is a man by the name of Katsuyori Shibata.
This is so fucking sad. I hate it.
He looks like Mac from It's Always Sunny, but...
He does.
Ignoring that.
He's one of my favorites.
He's one of Kamen's favorites. He's a very, very popular wrestler in Japan. He has the gimmick of being the wrestler.
Yeah, he comes out there, no flashy attire whatsoever.
None of that shit. He just comes out and he kills people. He
fucking beats the shit out of him.
His
gimmick is that he can take more punishment than anyone else, which he shows by basically no-selling, but in a cool way.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, once his opponent has tried their darndest to hurt him, he's like, okay, my turn. Boom! And he does that through, you know, uppercuts, kicks, and headbutts.
Headbutts. Much like Daniel Bryan had it in his arsenal at a very famous time in his life, but nevertheless.
Stop doing fucking headbutts.
An important thing to note is that Shibata wrestles normally in Japan for about 20 minutes tops, usually around 15 minutes.
15
Not very
minutes
long
at
matches
a time.
At all. He recently had a championship match with IWGP Heavyweight Champion Kazuchika Okada.
A fantastic match, by the way.
Brilliant 5-star match.
It was like 45 minutes long.
It was 45 minutes long. Shibata is famous for doing a spot where he headbutts someone and then blood trickles down his face.
Yeah, and the camera's always right on him, so there ain't no blading going on there. He fucking busts himself open the hard way.
By headbutting someone.
That's not good.
Come on, have you ever headbutted anyone?
No.
Accidentally or, like, anything like that?
I've hit my head on things.
On other heads?
No.
I have.
Really?
On accident, by, like, running into someone, and then I hit their head.
How did that go?
It's not fun doing it on accident.
I don't imagine it would be.
So, twatting your head onto another head as hard as humanly possible, so that you bleed repeatedly, isn't the one-time spot. He kept doing that. And so, during this match, because it went on for a long time, more time than he's used to, he got dehydrated.
Yeah.
And he headbutted Okada.
Yeah.
And on the way to the back, he collapsed.
Yeah.
And then he went to hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't left hospital since.
Fuck.
And this happened about a month ago.
At one point in the reports, people were saying he had no feeling and movement in his right side.
Mm-hmm. He is temporarily blind in one eye.
Yup. Basically...
And he's probably never going to wrestle again.
He fucked up his own skull.
Very
don't
bad.
Don't do that.
Now, again,
just don't do that.
I'm no expert on concussions.
Yeah.
None of us are.
Yeah, neither am I.
Doctors are.
Yeah.
If doctors clear Daniel Bryan, I think I would be okay with it.
And, you know, this... you know,
but at the same time,
was...
in general, I'm like, don't. You don't need to. I know he wants to, but it's like... Think of the children.
Yeah, he is having a kid now. It's difficult, man. Cause
unless
when
he puts
he was...
on like a fucking crash helmet so that he can do flying headbutts. Like, that'd be funny.
Just don't do headbutts, man.
Just don't do headbutts.
It's really
again,
not necessary.
It's easy to say that. He can get twatted on his head. I mean, Finn Balor doesn't do headbutts.
Yeah, of course, but, you know, don't purposely ram your head into things. If accidents happen, then, you know, what? Yeah, but don't fucking bash your skull into another human skull. Just simple as that.
Mm.
Or jump off of a, you know, turnbuckle and let your face mash into their shoulder. Just don't. When he... got re-injured after the winning the Intercontinental title. And then there was that whole period of, you know, is he going to be coming back or is he going to retire?
And he throughout got... that entire thing, I knew he was going to retire, but everyone was optimistic for some reason.
It was pretty clear.
Yeah.
But in that process, during that waiting period, he was cleared by NFL doctors.
Mm.
Now, the NFL is huge on concussions. It happens like every day, and the doctors are well aware of, you know, the risks of that, and people take time off for concussions until they're totally okay, because that shit can fuck you up. So, yeah. Considering that his major issue at the time was concussions, and still is that, if the NFL doctors said he was fine, then that's something. It's not like he went to a walk-in clinic and said, "Can I wrestle?" And they went, "I don't know, sure." He got professional opinions that said, yes. The WWE doctors said no. And that's where it gets kind of confusing. But in a year and a half, I would not be surprised if, even if WWE doctors again said no, I would not be surprised if other doctors said, "You're totally fine." And he goes and fucking wrestles in Japan or something.
You know, I'm never optimistic when it comes to injuries. So
no, it's hard to be optimistic about injuries these days.
I think the main problem here is that he everyone's worried about him.
Of course, because he's like the most beloved fucking character that stepped in a ring in...
decades.
Yeah, I'd say decades.
So, the idea that he goes away from WWE, a safe job with millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Probably doesn't earn a million, but that's beside the point.
He's comfy.
Safe job, cushy job as SmackDown general manager, which people like him doing.
Talking
smack and everything, people love him.
He's great at talking smack.
So, it's a question of whether I want to lose that in exchange for hearing about him wrestle in Japan. Or PWG, or wherever he decides to go. If he went to Japan.
Yeah.
And he had matches with, say, Tanahashi, Naito, Okada, Ishii, Goto, all of these people.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny Omega, even. Like, forgetting the Gaijins for a sec. If he goes to these places, and he wrestles these matches, I'm gonna see them.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm gonna be like, wow, that was a really good match. But at the same time, I'm going to be thinking, don't die, please. And there are times where I do think that in Japan, but with Brian, it would be constantly thinking that.
Yeah.
As opposed to having him on Talking Smack every week, and SmackDown being like... every week, being an entertaining, funny character that improves a WWE show.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not really any contest. Like, it depends on what you want to see him do. Do you want to see him as a good character that improves WWE television, which needs all the help it can get? Or do you want another guy in the independent scene or in New Japan or Ring of Honor or whoever having good matches? Because we already have enough of those.
Yeah.
I just feel like he'd be better in WWE, but that's just me. Not because of the whole concussions thing, but because of what he brings on each side of the spectrum.
Yeah, and there's also the very, very slim possibility, because when WWE doctors said no to him before, it's not like that's no forever, technically. So there is always the very slim possibility that, you know, his contract expires in a year and a half and he says, "Hey, check me again. Can I wrestle here?" And they say yes. Given that is insanely slim odds, but it is still a possibility. And if that happens, we know that WWE is a safer place to wrestle. Safer, I will say.
Well... unless you put him against Sheamus.
Yeah, well, then he'll just lose teeth. He won't die.
And also, didn't Sheamus, like, fuck up Brian at one point in 2015?
Yeah, he is the one that did that.
Oh, Sheamus.
So they'll probably avoid that feud.
Even though that's the feud they love.
They really do.
I don't get why.
I don't either.
No one understands why.
They had one good match.
When?
It was a rematch for the World Heavyweight Championship in Extreme Rules right after the 18 seconds loss. So, it was a 2 out of 3 falls match. It was really good.
2012? Yeah, 2012.
Yes. Huh. It was very good.
I missed that.
But that was kind of it. But anyway, there is that chance, and I feel like, I don't know, would we be happy with that? I kind of would.
There's... Brian stopped wrestling in 2015?
Yes?
Yes, 2015. In the past 2 years alone, there has been such a crazy influx of talent.
Dude, Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles.
AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, which is a dream match.
Oh, yeah. Just don't hit a Kinshasa.
Or if you do, just don't aim for the head.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the thing. Like, even if you do put him against a guy occasionally, like, say, every 3 pay-per-views, you're still going to get that worry.
Yeah, but...
Do you want that worry in the back of your mind? Or do you just want him to be okay?
Here's the thing. I do just kind of want him to be okay, but also...
I mean, like, it could be the fact that he wrestles these matches every so often and then he retires happily because he thinks the wrestler had a happy ending, but... Nevertheless, that you're going to be worried regardless of what happens to him or not.
Yeah, I mean...
Right?
If WWE doctors cleared him and said, yeah, you're good, I'd be a lot less worried.
Hmm.
But if he went off... If they said no and he went off to Japan and wrestled, I'd be real worried. I'd be real scared.
Like, it would do me a frighten.
It would really do me a big frighten. That's not good. Because, like, it's either Japan or...
PWG?
I don't even think Ring of Honor is an option. Yeah, PWG. I mean, and he I might even go to Ring of Honor. Matches. Yeah, I'd see bits of them on previews on YouTube. Mm-hmm. He might go to Ring of Honor, because I feel like he has an attachment to that place, but it's not a great spot right now.
The day we see Daniel Bryan in TNA is the day that I wake up from my coma.
Fuck no. He should know better than that.
Mm-hmm. Unless he goes there and he, like, does a running knee to the owl.
And then just leaves, never shows up again. No. He might do the Cody Rhodes thing, too. He might just go everywhere for a bit. And then stop and just sit in New Japan for a while. But that would make me super worried. If he wrestled in WWE again, I'd be less worried, because then that means their doctor said, yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Can you imagine if, like, say he does wrestle for WWE again, his first match is against Braun Strowman?
Oh.
How fucked would that be? Yeah. Like, oh yeah, you want to wrestle for us again? Alright, have Braun.
Oh, you gotta go through the gauntlet.
Put him against Braun, put him against Sheamus, put him against Roman Reigns again.
And then when he's done, he's dead.
Yeah.
Just keep wrestling big guys until you're dead.
That'll show you for wanting to wrestle.
To follow your dreams.
This is not a good idea.
Yeah, no. If WWE clears him, then I think I'd be fine with him wrestling again in WWE. But if not... Please just stay as a fucking general manager or something.
We like you here.
We like you alive.
Not like Shibata. Who isn't dead.
Thank God.
Thank God. It could have happened.
He will most likely never wrestle again.
Which is sad.
I feel like that's not... Has that even been, like, medically confirmed yet?
Pretty much. He can barely work his body. I wouldn't let him in a ring again if it was me.
I mean, Hanma was temporarily paralyzed, and he's apparently doing good now.
This is a bit more than temporary paralysis.
Well,
this is brain stuff. Brain stuff, scary stuff.
Brain stuff is scary stuff, but it's not permanent stuff. I feel like he'll probably never wrestle again. But I like
you
to
say
be
it's not permanent
about...
stuff. But remember when Corey Graves used to wrestle?
Some things are different. I don't feel...
Exactly. Some things are different. We don't know anything. All we know is that concussions, as broad as they can be, can either be like, oh, just wait a week and you're fine, or if you fall over, you'll die.
It's so fucking weird, dude.
This
I don't
is why
understand.
I'd rather not have the problem.
Yeah. Because it really is that. It's really just, okay, Dolph, you got hit in the head with a ladder or something.
Goodbye to all of your main event matches.
Sit at home for a couple weeks, and then you'll be able to come back and fall on your head repeatedly without dying.
In the mid-card.
Brian, you got kicked a little too hard. You're going to die if you suplex someone again.
Bearing in mind, Brian has already been wrestling for, like, what, 15 years?
Yeah, he's had
a super long time. And he's had a storied, like, career full of injuries.
His cornea.
Yeah. We all remember that fun time.
Nigel McGuinness's cleats got stuck in his cornea. That was a bad joke.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. It all depends on what WWE doctors say, basically, as far as my opinion goes. If they say no, then I hope to God Brian agrees with them and says, yeah, I probably shouldn't.
Maybe.
But I'm so worried that he's going to be like, no, but I wanna. And then he's going to go.
I want to go Tanahashi.
Then he's going to go fight Ishii and die.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I don't want him headbutting a stone golem that came to life one day. But anyway, what do y'all think of Daniel Bryan potentially wrestling again? Could that be something you want to see? Or are you like me, where you don't want to have to worry about him every time he sets foot in the ring? How about you leave a comment below, and you'll let us know. Do you know the plugs, Carmine?
I know some of them. You can go to Facebook and like our page. It's called The Supla. You can go to Twitter and follow us there. It's called The Supla. You can go to our website and get all sorts of stuff. It's called supla.com. There's the Brocast on iTunes. And we have an Instagram. That's a thing.
What's it called?
The Supla.
Yeah.
And we have a Patreon page where you can go and support us directly if you so desire. We have things to give you in return if you choose to do that. And I think that's all of them. Am I missing anything?
You're missing out the gaming channel.
That thing.
Supla Gaming, where they play a lot of GTA, and but lately they have been uploading other things from the past. Do you want to see what Liam had to say 5-6 years ago? You go
Wait,
there.
What?
Yeah, they're uploading
oh,
videos from
I know
2011
the one you're
now.
Talking about.
Yeah, a certain type of creed run by asses.
The asses are in.
And I'm out.
Yep, exactly.
I've been Sam Brooks.
I've been Carmen Antonelli.
And I'm going to miss this light.
Oh.
I'm going to miss being in the brightness.